This is Henry Simon, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Waldo Emerson Farnsworth, address unknown. And here again is Henry Simon.
It was a frosty London morning in the March of 1937. The clock above the entrance to Farnsworth House showed the time at 10:27 as a large black car drew up and two men alighted from it. Both were bowler-hatted, both wore heavy topcoats, and after a brief consultation with the lift driver, they were conveyed to the fourth floor, where they entered a door marked Executive Chambers, W.E. Farnsworth, Governing Director.
Good morning. Can I help you?
I'd like a word with Mr. Farnsworth.
Is he expecting you?
I hope not.
I beg your pardon?
He'll see us.
But...
Stevens is my name, Superintendent Stevens.
Superintendent?
And this is Sergeant Blake. We're from Scotland Yard.
Yes?
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Farnsworth, but there are two gentlemen here to see you.
Oh, by appointment?
No, sir. They're police officers.
Police officers?
From Scotland Yard, so they say. Superintendent Stevens and Sergeant Blake.
Very well. Show them in.
Yes, sir. Superintendent Stevens and Sergeant Blake, sir.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in.
Yep.
That'll be all, Miss Phillips.
Yes, sir.
Well, sit down, gentlemen. Make yourselves comfortable.
Thank you, sir, but we won't be staying.
Oh, that's too bad. It isn't often I have the honor of entertaining police officers. Well, now, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
Afraid we'll have to ask you to accompany us back to the yard, sir.
Accompany you? I don't think I understand.
In that case, it's my painful duty to enlighten you. We have a warrant for your arrest.
The arrest of Waldo Farnsworth, one of London's wealthiest and most promising financiers, came as the climax to a police investigation, the results of which were to rock the country. Chairman of eight different companies and governing director of the Farnsworth International Finance Corporation, the 55-year-old multimillionaire was charged with wholesale fraud and embezzlement. At his subsequent trial, despite the efforts of a very brilliant defense counsel, it was clearly established that his empire had been founded and was indeed flourishing upon the fruits of fraudulently obtained capital. He was duly found guilty on 14 of the 16 charges brought against him and sentenced by the presiding judge to 15 years penal servitude. During the time of the trial, and in the months preceding it, Waldo Emerson Farnsworth was surely the most publicized figure of his day. His name occurred in every headline. His photograph was on the front page of almost every newspaper to hit the streets. And yet, when the hue and cry had died down, he was swiftly forgotten, and soon became nothing but a vague memory in the public mind. For my own part, however, being something of a student of criminology, I had cause to remember him well. And when in the June of 1951, exactly 14 years later, his name was brought to my notice again, my interest, of course, was readily aroused. It happened to be a warm Tuesday afternoon, and I was browsing through a batch of reports when Pauline rang through to announce the arrival of my 3 o'clock appointment.
Mr. Hutton is here, Mr. Simon.
Oh, yes, thank you, Pauline. I'll see him right away. A moment later, the door opened to admit a stoutish, sharp-featured man whose clothing and accent marked him at once as an American. His full name was Randolph Foster Hutton, and he lost little time in getting down to business.
As you can see from my card, Mr. Simon, I represent the Eagle Star Film Company. Guess you've heard of us.
The name is not unfamiliar.
Well, I'm over here on a very special mission, and I'm told that you may be able to help me.
I shall certainly do my best.
Sure you will. The fact is, we want you to trace a guy for us as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Money's no object, of course, and we're ready to pay you well for services rendered. You'll find us most liberal.
By us, I take it you're referring to your employers.
Uh-huh.
May I inquire who it is you want traced?
His name is Waldo Farnsworth.
Waldo Farnsworth?
Ring any bells?
Well, there was a financier of that name convicted of fraud a year or two before the war.
That's the guy, Waldo Emerson Farnsworth.
I don't quite understand. If my memory serves me correctly, he was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment.
He got four off for good behavior. They let him out in 48. Which means he's been a free man for the past 3 years. You didn't know that, huh?
Frankly, no. But I still don't.
We're making a film about him. At least, it's our intention to do so. First, he has to be found so he can okay the script. Also, we'd like him along as a technical advisor.
You actually plan to film the story of his life?
A good part of it. At 15, he was a messenger boy. At 45, a tycoon. And at 55, behind bars. We want to put those 40 years on celluloid. The story of his rise and fall. It'll be the film of the decade. Biggest thing of its type since Citizen Kane. Only hitch is he's gone into smoke completely. Hasn't been seen or heard of in the past 18 months.
By whom? He hasn't been seen or heard of? By whom?
Well, by anybody.
Well, about his family, have you contacted them?
Well, his son was killed in the army. His wife died of pneumonia back in 35. Only other close relative he appears to have had was a sister in Glasgow. She was fatally injured in a motor accident the year before last.
I see. Now, you say that he's been out of prison for 3 years.
To be exact, it'll be 3 years in August.
Yet you claim that he's been out of circulation, so to speak, for 18 months only.
When last heard of, he was on his way back here from South America. Went there to settle, but because of his record, he was refused permission to land. Same thing happened when he went out to Australia a short while before. They wouldn't let him off the ship. So he had to turn right around and come back.
And you believe that he is still in this country?
No other country will have him.
What age would he be now? Have you got any idea?
Oh, well, according to the record, 69 years and 3 months. Date of birth, March the 6th, 1882.
Oh, very well informed.
I've read the script.
It's already been written?
More or less, except for a couple of scenes.
Suppose he doesn't care of the idea of having his past resurrected on the screen.
Well, we're prepared to coax him some. No guy in his position would turn up his nose at the kind of dough we can offer. He'll be able to live out the rest of his life in luxury. Maybe even float a few more companies on his own cash this time.
That prospect should appeal.
Main thing bothering us is we got no way of knowing for sure whether or not he is still living. If he's kicked off, it's going to complicate matters more than someone.
Yeah. At his age, that's more than a remote possibility.
Yeah, yeah. Still, we got ways of getting around that kind of thing. Just so long as we know for sure, one way or the other.
Quite.
You understand, of course, what I've told you is in the strictest confidence.
Of course.
If any of our competitors got wind of our plans, they might get ideas of pipping us to the post, you know. Muscling in on the act, if you follow my meaning. Way things are, we don't have a leg to stand on. I mean, MGM could grab the guy, make a musical out of him, and it's not a darn thing we could do about it. Hence the need for secrecy and urgency.
What other inquiries have you made?
Well, none to speak of. We put out a few feelers, you know, but for all the good it's done us, we could have spared ourselves the effort.
Now, you mentioned that when last heard of, Farnsworth was on his way back to this country from South America.
Brazil, yeah.
By sea?
Uh-huh. Cargo ship.
What cargo ship?
Same one he went over on, the Blue Monarch.
Belonging to what line?
Rover Cape.
You verified his return with them, of course.
Well, if you mean did I check to see if he got there, sure, but that's it. The end of the trail. Full stop.
How many other passengers did the ship happen to be carrying, do you know?
Afraid not. Not too many, though, I guess, being a cargo vessel.
Well, it shouldn't be difficult to check. I'll get in touch with their office.
Swell.
You're staying in London, I take it?
For a couple of weeks, yeah. If you want to reach me at any time, I'm at the Savoy.
Fair enough. I won't make any promises, of course, but as I said, I shall do all I can.
Well, you won't lose by it, I guarantee that. Neither will Farnsworth if you find him. He stands to clean up big if this deal goes through, and I mean big. Which just goes to show, whoever it was said crime doesn't pay was talking through his hat.
Well, there it is, Study. We've nothing whatever to go on. We're 18 months in the red.
Yeah, he must have been quite a character, this Farnsworth.
It depends on your interpretation of the word character.
Well, what I mean is he must have been pretty cute to get in so deep and keep his head above water for so long.
But then, by the merest chance, the law caught up with him when it did. Another year or so, and he'd have covered his tracks completely.
Yeah, these big-time operators, they must have nerves of steel. Sure like to know what makes them tick.
Greed for money, usually.
Yeah, or power.
A combination of both, perhaps.
But this guy was no Capone. He had no gang behind him, no thugs to pave the way. He did it alone.
And paid the price.
Yeah, 15 years.
11, with remissions for good behavior.
Yeah, but I guess I'll settle for being poor.
I checked with the Revocate shipping line, by the way. Blue Monarch has facilities for 12 passengers.
Oh, so there were 11 others on board, huh?
If she was carrying her full complement, yes.
Weren't they able to tell you?
They're checking. I said I'd send you along to their office. If we can get a hold of a copy of the passenger list, of course, we can check with each one individually.
Which gets us where?
Well, it doesn't necessarily get us anywhere. But there is a chance that Farnsworth might have befriended one or other of the passengers during the trip, in which case, of course, they might be able to provide us with some form of lead. Well, I know it's only a faint hope. At present, it's all we've got.
Yeah, sure is a pity they didn't decide to make this film sooner. Yeah, that's Hollywood for you. For 11 years, the guy's in the pen, and they have to wait till he gets out.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
At the Cockspur offices of the Rover Cape shipping line, Study interviewed a company official named Halloran, who proved to be the gentleman I'd spoken to earlier on the phone. True to his word, he checked on the sailing in question and had discovered that the Blue Monarch had been carrying its full complement of 12 passengers. Among them, of course, our quarry, Waldo Farnsworth.
That's correct, Mr. Study. He completed the round trip.
I understand the Brazilian authorities wouldn't let him land.
There was some trouble, yes, but I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to supply you with the details.
Oh, that's okay. Now, up to that point, my information appears to be intact, but for the present, it's the other passengers I'm interested in. The ones who came back with him. Now, would it be possible to let me have a list of their names and addresses?
But as it happens, I have a copy of the passenger list here. Normally, of course, it runs contrary to our policy to release such information, but under the circumstances, I feel an exception can justifiably be made. Unfortunately, the only address we don't have is a record of his Farnsworth.
Well, in view of the position, that's understandable. Let's see. Do you mind if I take this back to the office with me so I can study it at my leisure?
Oh, no, not at all. If there's anything further we can do, don't hesitate to contact us.
Many thanks, sir. I'm much obliged.
Of the 11 names listed, there were 3 married couples, 2 of them businessmen with their wives returning home after occupying posts abroad, and the 3rd honeymoon couple, who had spent 3 weeks in Brazil on the completion of a world tour. Their addresses, as listed, were duly checked and were found to be in order. Of the remaining 5 passengers, 2 were engineers from the same company who had been employed on the construction of a dam in Venezuela. And the other 3 were Latin dancers from Montevideo, en route to England to fulfill professional engagements. It was to the Rainsford home of Mr. and Mrs. Arthur L. Young that Study ventured first. On his arrival, he was greeted by Mrs. Young, who explained that her husband was at present attending a convention in Edinburgh and was not expected home for several days.
He was always tripping about somewhere. How do you ever see him?
Well, I suppose you can probably help me as much as he can. You were in South America with him, I believe.
Yes, for 3 years. He had a post in Rio.
And you returned to England 18 months ago aboard the Blue Monarch?
That's right.
One of your fellow passengers was a man named Farnsworth, Waldo Farnsworth. Do you remember him at all?
Oh, I certainly do. He was my favorite bridge partner. As a combination, we're unbeatable.
Uh-huh. Well, apart from the bridge game, did you see much of him?
Oh, yes, quite a bit. He was a most agreeable companion, wonderful sense of humor, and always the perfect gentleman. I don't mind telling you, if he'd been a few years younger, well, my husband might have had cause to worry.
Hmm. Have you seen or heard from him since your arrival back in England?
Oh, unfortunately not. He promised to look us up, but he never did.
When he left the ship, have you got any idea where he was headed?
No, but I remember he mentioned something about a friend of his owning a farm somewhere. He said he'd been invited to spend a few months there.
And he intended taking advantage of the invitation?
Oh, yes, that was the impression I gained.
But he didn't say where the farm was?
Not that I recall. Of course, he may have told one of the other passengers. He made friends with everybody, including the crew. He was that sort of man.
Ship's at sea right now, and I can't check with the crew.
Can't the shipping company help you?
Well, they have a record of everybody's address but his. You see, he was traveling under rather exceptional circumstances.
Oh?
Well, I take it wasn't generally known who he was.
Well, to us, he was just Mr. Farnsworth. Why, is he some kind of celebrity?
Well, not exactly. Just a well-known financier.
Oh.
But getting back to the other passengers, was there anyone he was especially chummy with?
Let me think now. Well, he did spend a good deal of time with that Mr. Sanderson.
Would that be John F. Sanderson?
Oh, you know him.
Well, I've got his name down here.
Yes, well, he was some kind of engineer, I think. He and his friend, Jordan, was it? Yes. They'd been helping to build some kind of dam in Venezuela, or something equally as outlandish. Well, they could probably tell you something. Sanderson, anyway.
I'll check with him. In the meanwhile, here's my card. If you think of anything else, perhaps you'll be so good as to let me know.
The tracing of John F. Sanderson was again purely a routine matter. The address supplied to the shipping company was that of his mother, who directed study to a manufacturing plant in Ealing, where Sanderson was employed as consultant engineer.
Farnsworth? Yes, of course. Nice chap. We had some interesting chats together.
You haven't been in touch with him at all since you got back, I suppose.
No. He did say he'd give me a buzz when he came up to London, but I haven't heard from him.
When he came up to London, from where?
A friend of his had a farm down in Sussex. He'd been offered a share in the place. And said he was going to spend a few months there and see how he liked the life.
Well, just where in Sussex? Any notion?
Well, all I can tell you is it was somewhere on the coast. He mentioned that the farmhouse itself was in sight of the Channel. What's it all about, anyway? His past caught up with him again?
You know about his past?
Well, he told me something of it. In confidence, of course. As far as I know, none of the others knew. Poor old boy. Came as pretty much of a blow to him when the Brazilian authorities wouldn't let him land. Not that he showed it, mind you. The contrary. All the way back, he was the life and soul of the party. Everyone on board thought it was Christmas.
Well, looks like I'll have to check with them all. See if he dropped any more hints around. What about your friend Jordan?
Well, no go there. He's taken a job with a firm in Hamburg. Been there for the last 6 months.
Yeah, let's him out.
And what about that other fellow? What the devil was his name now? He was traveling with his wife.
Oh, not the honeymoon couple?
Lord, no. Wasting your time trying them. Too busy cuddling in corners to get into conversation. When they weren't in their cabins, that is. They only emerged about twice. No, it was the other couple.
Mr. and Mrs. Gerald Saxon?
That's the name, Saxon. A night before we docked, he and Farnsworth got drunk together. Or perhaps I should say pleasantly pickled. And when I joined them, they'd reached the really talkative stage. No telling what might have passed between them. The captain was there, too, having a good old letter.
All pals together, huh?
To the end. You know, old Farnsworth certainly had the knack of bringing people out. A genius for winning them over.
There was one guy I didn't work on.
Oh? Who?
The judge.
Gerald Saxon, it transpired, was the sales manager of a well-known importing concern. A big man in his mid-50s, he was interviewed in his Piccadilly office by study that same afternoon.
Well, that's the situation as it stands, sir. According to Sanderson, he was going to stay with a friend of his on a farm down in Sussex.
Yes, now that you mention it, I believe he did say something about a farm.
Somewhere on the coast.
Wait a bit, I have some friends living down that way, in Eastbourne. I seem to recall telling him to look them up, which rather suggests it might have been in the same area. Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought of him.
Yes, Eastbourne, eh?
Sorry, I can't be a little more definite.
Oh, that's okay, sir. This could be just the link I'm looking for.
Accordingly, Study journeyed by train to the coastal resort of Eastbourne, where he contacted Saxon's friends. This was purely a routine matter, however, and he was not surprised to learn that Farnsworth had not been in touch. He was now faced with the prospect of scouring the district, an area bordered by Brighton to the west and Hastings to the east. Painstakingly, he set about his quest, quizzing locals and shopkeepers by the score, moving from town to town, visiting properties, private homes, orchards, poultry farms, and pig farms, until finally at a general store, just a mile out of Pevensey on the road to Beck's Hill, his diligence was rewarded.
Farnsworth, you say?
Yeah, that's right. He's a fellow right around your own age.
It could be the feller.
What feller?
A year or so back, he come to stay at the Mortimer place. Been there ever since.
And his name is Farnsworth?
Aye, a friendly sort. Drops by for a chat now and then.
Well, what sort of a place is it?
A pig farm. Oh. Only small. They run it between them, him and Pete Mortimer.
Well, could you tell me just how do I get there?
We'll keep going towards Bexhill. About 500 yards along to the right, there's a turnoff. Now, if you follow it, you'll come to a gate. And that's it. There's a track leading up to the house.
Following the storekeeper's instructions, Studdy found his way to a large wooden bungalow at the foot of a grassy rise. From the front steps, the sea was just visible, although the view was obscured somewhat by the fast-fading light. There was no sign of life about, but from the back of the house came the sound of somebody chopping wood.
Pardon me.
Hmm? What? Oh, good evening.
Good evening. Kind of tough work.
Yes, rather. Just fixing some fuel for the stove. Good exercise. You looking for Pete?
No, I'm looking for Waldo Farnsworth.
That's me. What can I do for you?
Well, if you could spare me a few minutes, I'd be very grateful. Study's the name. Missing Persons Bureau.
For a man of almost 70 who had spent 11 of the past 15 years of his life in prison, Waldo Farnsworth was of an amazingly fit and active appearance. He had lost most of his hair, and his face was just a maze of deeply embedded wrinkles. But he held himself erect, and the hands that gripped the axe were as steady as a rock.
So that's how it is, Mr. Farnsworth. Say the word, and you're a wealthy man.
I've lived to regret a lot of things, Mr. Studdy. But I'm happy to say that having a film made about me isn't one of them. Nor do I intend it should be.
Well, under the circumstances, I suppose I don't blame you. But, like I say, it could be worth a lot of dough.
I have no use for money. Not anymore. Coming from someone like me, that probably sounds strange. Nevertheless, it's the truth. You see, Mr. Studdy, I've got a half interest in this place. And, though pig farming's not exactly what I'd planned for myself, I'm about as happy here as I could be anywhere. And I might say, certainly a darn sight happier than I'd be in Hollywood, watching some half-baked ham playing out the story of my life. No, Mr. Studdy, so far as I'm concerned, the past is done with. Finished. I don't care to have it raked up again. On the screen or anywhere else. All I want to do is to be left alone, so that I can tend my pigs in peace.
You find their company preferable to people?
Let's say I find them more stimulating. You'd like to look over the pens while you're here?
Why not? I could use a little stimulation myself.
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
Despite the tempting offers subsequently made to him by the Eagle Star Film Company, Waldo Farnsworth stuck to his guns and stubbornly refused to negotiate. Without his permission, of course, the film could not be made. And to this day, the project has borne no fruit. I often wonder if a means will be found of making it after Farnsworth's death. But that is something which only the future can decide, of course. For Waldo Farnsworth is now still very much alive. And from what I hear, looks like remaining active on his pig farm for many years to come. And now, Mrs. Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again. And for the present, bidding you au revoir.